Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's a real privilege to be here with you. This lovely sunny weather seems to go on forever.
Yes.
You know, where we come from in Carlisle, it rains most of the time. If it's not raining, it's grey and overcast. But we've had the privilege of coming here for the conference and to stay here on our holiday as well, and it's a real privilege to be here with you this Sunday to share with you. Hope you got your Bibles with you this morning. If you're in the church in Carlisle and you're in the young people's church, you get a lollipop if you bring your Bible with you. So if you've got your Bible with you this morning, well done. Because this is part of our essential kit. This is part of our essential life force. Amen. The Bible is part. It's not an optional extra that you bolt on. It's an essential. The Word of God is essential to your life. It's essential to my life. It's essential to your life too. And so this morning I want to go through some scripture with you and see where God takes us. He's been saying some stuff this morning. I've been listening to God, and I had a seed of a word birthed in me all the way back when I was in Carlisle. That seems a long time ago now. And it's been growing within me as we've been here in Spain. And first of all, he wants you to be reminded. You know that passage in Joshua where God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Well, I've done some study on this, and it's been a word that's been mulling in my heart for a long time. And I looked at those words from the original Hebrew, because we translate them into strong and courageous. But if you look at the original Hebrew and then take the literal translation of those words, it means, but be steadfast, you, and be resolute, you. Steadfast and resolute. And it's just a word that we have to have. Sometimes we get so fired up into being strong, into being very courageous, but we forget to be steadfast. We forget to be resolute. The man came through the door this morning. I don't know if he was from the city or from the local buildings or whatever. There's a worry going on. Who's called you? God. Who's for you? If God is for you, who can be against you? John 3:16, let's have a look. You know this one off by heart, my children. Probably recite it to you. Most of us could probably recite this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're here this morning, and you thought, well, I'll come along, it'd be alright. This can be the moment that your life changes. You see, all this stuff that we've done this morning, we look at the the cross on the screen, we see the bread and the wine going past us. And we think, that's all very nice. One thing that I've seen in this country as I've been touring around the place is the amount of religion there is here. People do not want religion anymore. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, you are not part of a religious organization anymore. You now have a living, active relationship with the living God. And He makes a difference in your life. You will never be the same again. And this applies to you, to me, to the people driving down the street, to the people living above us, all around us here. Jesus came to die, to pay the price, to release you from what man will say is the way to God, so that you can come to God, so that you can have a personal, living, active relationship with the living God. It's not about rules and regulations anymore. I had a piece of paper. I wrote rules and laws on it. You see, this is what Jesus came to do with the rules and the laws. You're free. You're absolutely free. The two things that Jesus told us to do was love God with all of our hearts, all of everything that we are. So we sing this morning where we see the waves breaking on the beach, we see the stars in the sky. We were down the Paseo last night walking with the people, looking at the stars, and we see God all around. We see God active, holding the universe together, seeing the stars go around. He sets you free. He wants to set every man, woman and child free too. Yes, is that going to make you popular? No. No, it won't make you popular. Because I can tell you, there'll be more people that come through that door and tell you, you're going to have to stop this. You're becoming too dangerous. Because you're threatening their livelihoods. You're threatening their way of life. You're threatening their safety. Oh, how comfortable do we get with rules and regulations? You know, as long as I do this, and I pray this, and I read this, then I'm okay. It's about relationship. It's not about religiousness or piety. We're here to rip that up, to plow that through, so that they can bring forth a harvest. It's not for Pastor Andrew's glory. Duncan's glory or anybody else's glory. But we only work, we only live, we only breathe, we only get up in the morning, we only sleep at night for the glory of our Lord. Put this down. How's your religiousness this morning? Did you get upset? Did you get upset if things weren't done the way you always liked them to be done? Did you get upset when certain words weren't said over the bread? Carol felt awesome, wonderful, splendid. Yeah, I know I'm in the right place. I had a lady in our church in Carlisle. She did the first communion of her life. She, a daughter of a pastor. I thought, she knows what to do. She's seen it thousands of times. She's been through it thousands of times. She did the wine first. People, you could feel the ripple. We got the wine first! What do we even do? This is a communion! Wine first, bread second, what? But it's not about the altar. It's about the heart. It's about the love. It's about the Lord. How's your religiousness this morning? This is my Bible. The words in it contain life. They're living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. It says I've got to stand on the word. Okay, I'm standing on the word. You see, that would have upset some people. He's standing on the Bible. He put his Bible on the floor. What? What's he doing? Oh! Now he's thrown the word. But the thing is, you see, is I'm still here. You see, Jesus didn't send a bolt of lightning to whack me over the head because I threw my Bible down the room. Thank you, Pat. You're doing a marvellous job. As you can see, it's been done before. Because my maps have come out, my Bible's inside out. The thing is that we're trying to break this religious mentality of our mind. And I'm prone to it too. Thank you. I'm prone to being religious too. You know, our church, we like things done the way we like things done. You know, we like to have 20 minutes praise and worship up front, and if it goes over 20 minutes, some people go, ooh. And then we like to do this, and then we like to send the children out, and then we have the word. But if the word goes over 5 minutes, now, there's nothing wrong with having order. Paul says in his word, in the word, it says that you've got to have order in the house of God. But we're not about rules and regulations. You see, the letter of the law will stifle you. It will actually kill you. It will dry you out. It will cause you to wither. But the Spirit brings life. And you've got to listen to the Spirit behind the law. You've got to be hearing the Spirit behind the words. You've got to hear what God's heart is saying to every man, woman and child. He's saying that you can have life and life in abundance. I am your healer. I am the God who healeth you. I am the one who provides for you. He provides for you. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. If you're facing the impossible, you're in the right place. Because our God is the true living God who makes the impossible possible. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. He will break things forward for you as long as you're walking with Him and in tune to Him and say, yes Lord, I live for you and I live for you and I live for you, and everything you do is for His glory. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. Say, he hasn't talked about the Bible much, has he? Right, let's go to Acts. You see, I was looking at this building. God said, this building is like you. It's the same on the outside. Well, I'm trying to get a bit more muscly, you know, too much good food. But I'm trying to change the outside. But God is saying, look at the change that you've made on the inside. This is what I'm doing with you. I'm taking your houses, I'm taking your bodies, I'm taking you, and I'm turning you beautiful on the inside. This is what God is all about. Changing the inside of people. Now, sometimes we walk down the path and we look at the people that walk forward and say, no, he can't, no. Oh, too tall, too old, too scary, too young. Nobody here, Lord. Nobody here to talk to. No, they're all out of the bounds of what we think is what a Christian looks like. Way too bright shirt. Too many wheels on his shoes. Hello, my name's Chris. Let's turn to Acts. We'll get there. We will get there. Where's my axe gone? It fell out at the back. Is it over there? Let's mix it up. Now, when I was young, one of my favourite TV programmes was Star Trek. Remember Star Trek? Do you remember Captain T. Kirk, the Starship Enterprise, boldly going where no man has gone before? Do you know, every single episode, every single week, they came up against what seemed to be an impossible situation. But every single week, they found a way. They found a way through. They found a way to overcome the obstacles in front of them. They overcame, we mustn't touch this race. We're only here to observe. We're only here to do this. The church is not here to observe. We're here to change civilizations. We're here to make the difference. We're here to turn the place upside down. And I'm getting too far in front of myself now. I want to start in Acts 4, just in case you've gone through and you know where that scripture is. I want to start in Acts 4 this morning. This is one of my favourite verses. Acts 4 and verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, and they marvelled and realised that they had been with Jesus. I used to love that scripture, because it meant as long as I was bold and I was loud, I didn't have to know anything. That's untrue. They perceived they were uneducated and untrained in what they thought a religious person should be. They had been with Jesus. They knew Jesus trained them in life, not in religiousness. He trained them in how to release the captives, not to make captives. They saw the life that flowed through Jesus flowing through these men. I see this morning people with that life flowing through you. I look out here this morning and I can see the life flowing through you, because you have been with Jesus. My challenge to you this morning is, if you do not know Jesus, now. Make him your Lord now. And you can have all the power that Jesus promises. You can have the freedom in your life now. He doesn't say you have to do this and then wait 3 years and then you'll get it. He says now. You see, what they saw in these men was the love, the strength oozing from them. They just couldn't help it. It's like when you've eaten too much garlic. Everybody knows it. You just can't help it. You can't stop it. It just comes out of you. This is why our word is important. Because as we put the word into us, it comes out of us. Whether you say a word and you speak it out, or whether you just live, and your neighbours, the people who know you, will perceive that you are one of those Jesus people. Those men and those women who have life, and life abundantly, and you can't stop them. You can't hold them down. There's nothing that's impossible for them. In fact, they get tired of coming to you sometimes because you're so positive. So why on earth are you so positive? Everything's going off around you and you're still smiling and you're still positive about the future. And you can say, yes, but I know that God has a plan for my life, and I know that he's able to keep me from falling. And I know that he can do immeasurably more than I can ever think or ask. Amen? This is who we are. This is what we're in. This is what we've got flowing through us. The life of Jesus, the living God. Let's go to Acts 17. When you preach life, when you live life, people get upset around you. People will want to stop you. In this passage, there's a load of people who want to stop these men. verse 6 it says, but when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these are those who have turned the world upside down, and they've come here too. Well, guess what? You've come here. You've come here too to turn this world upside down. This piece of, to be quite honest with you, up until a few years ago when I flew in here with Pastor Tony to meet with Pastor Andrew and Pastor Wendy here, I didn't know this part of the world existed. I knew that Spain was there, and I sort of heard of Alicante and Benidorm, but I didn't know that this was here. I know, I've seen, I've enjoyed. We've been all over the place. We've been up on the mountains, we've been on the beaches, we've been in the country and the cities. God wants to turn this place upside down, or the right way up. Amen? Because mankind wants to keep it the way they like it. Because it's comfortable for them. Because they don't have to face the reality of God. But it's our job you and me. It's our job, wherever God places us, to bring the power and the glory to that place, to turn it around, to change it upside down or the right way up, to make it the place that God planned it to be. And you have been chosen as the agents of change in this area, or wherever you live and reside. I'm talking to myself as well here, because Carlisle needs turning upside down too. Amen? Boy, does it. The UK needs it. The whole of Europe needs it. Some of the world is being turned around, but there's a lot more to be done yet. Amen? Lord, we're not quite finished yet. Don't come back yet. We've got some more to do. We've got some more captives to release. We've got some more sick people to be healed. We've got some unsaved. Wow, we've got thousands of unsaved to be saved. We've got captives who are captive in religiousness and rules and regulations to be broken forth and set free. And that's what he's brought you and me here to do. To break those bounds that bind. Now, either your heart is going, yep, okay, let me at them. Or your heart's going, oh no. Can we go for a quiet coffee? If your heart is saying yes, then keep it going up, no matter what comes at you. Everything that came up against them in the Starship Enterprise was impossible for them. But they found a way every week. And that's just in a story on the telly. Yeah. We've got life, real life. And we've got the greatest power on our side, living and working in you and through you. Now we came to this conference going, hey, do you realise this is the first conference we haven't been involved in setting it up? It's going to be really, really strange. And I want to say to you, the UK flew in and flew out again. Some of us drove in and we're driving out again. We appreciate how much effort, how much time, how much heartache it took to set the conference up. And I just want to say thank you and say that we appreciate every change of the website. Yeah? Every change of notice, change of speaker, everything that goes on as you come up to conference. All the headaches, the heartaches, the sleepless nights. Oh, I don't think I can ever do this again. Don't ever ask me again. Because it's like having a baby. It's hard. It's tough. And it takes it out of you. But I want to challenge you this morning. You've come out the other side. You've finished your building. We've dedicated the building. The building's open. Now is not the time to relax. I know that you need your sleep. And I'm not suggesting you're up all night running around everywhere. But it's now is not the time to relax. Now is the time to go on the front foot. Because you're making headway. The boat's still sailing forwards. The headway that you've made in team building, holding together, doing those things that you thought were impossible once, you've overcome and achieved. A few years ago, you wouldn't have even dreamed of being able to put a conference on. But you've done it. You've achieved it. You've overcome the hill. You've overcome the hilltop. You've climbed the mountain. You've climbed this mountain too. You're climbing many mountains at the same time. The trouble is that when you get to the mountain top, you like to enjoy the view. But you enjoy the view for the moment. And then it's go down the next one. And as you're going down, you're preparing yourself for the next mountain. You have great leaders. With great foresight. And I won't go through all the sites that Brad taught. Because I can't remember them all. Not without reading the notes. But keep moving forwards. Keep moving forwards. Now we were scuba diving. No, snorkeling. I keep getting it all mixed up. Snorkeling for the first time and I was watching the fish. I was reminded of that wonderful film. Nemo. No. Jules, no, we didn't see the shark. I'd have been out of the water quicker than you could say. Even before Will got out, I tell you, I'd have been out there if I saw the shark. But Finding Nemo. A little dory. Keep on swimming. Keep on swimming. What do? We swim. You see, the Christian life is not about the power and the glory and the big things. It's about being in the Word, loving God, loving your neighbour, going to work, walking down the street, going shopping, touching somebody's heart, touching somebody's life, giving them a hand when they thought nobody cared, giving them a phone call when they're all alone, helping them across the street, picking their groceries up when their bag breaks. That's where you share the love of Jesus. One final scripture. Acts 19. I just want to take you to this passage of in Acts 19, and it starts with verse 21. See, yesterday we were in Cartagena, in the Roman amphitheater. I wanted to call it the Colosseum, but I got told off by my son. But it just reminded us of this passage, where there's a riot in a theatre, very similar to that one, because the men of God, the people who turn places upside down, had come into a place and started tearing down the need for religion. It's going to take some crazy people to do some crazy things. And I don't mean running down the road going, "Aah!" because they just think you are crazy and lock you away. And if you want a prison ministry or an asylum ministry, you've probably got it. But crazy people living crazy lives in a crazy place. When you were in school, you probably never dreamt of coming here. As you worked your lives, you probably had a glimmer of something for the future. But now God has called you to a work for His glory. Whether you live here or holiday here, or whether you wished you lived here or somewhere else. Maybe you're sitting there going, "Oh, it's way too hot. Iceland, Lord." But wherever you go, whatever you do, you are a very special person. You are unique. You are empowered. You are on a mission from God. In later series of Star Trek, go back to the Star Trek thing, John Luke, Picard, the captain, would say, "Make it so." Your captain, it's not me, it's not Pastor Andrew, it's not the Lord. The Lord is saying to you, "Okay, I've given you my blueprint. I've given you my plan. He's sitting in his captain's chair and he's saying, "Make it so." And when the captain says, "Make it so," the engineers go down and make sure the engines are working. And the lieutenants and all the communication staff do the communications things, and they work as a team to make it so. Whether you're part of this team here or another team somewhere else, go and do what you do best and make it so. Make it so. God is calling to your heart right now. Make it so. You're sitting here this morning going, well, alright Lord, I'm not sure I've quite got this one yet. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're one of those this morning, feels tired, worn out, not sure how you're going to make it so, when you stick your hand in the air, just acknowledge that there's something that you need the Lord to do in your life. Perhaps you feel totally inadequate in what God is asking you to do. Maybe you've seen what God wants to do with you, and you really can't see yourself doing it. But know this, that God is able to do immeasurably more. The plan that God has for you will scare you. It will make your flesh wobble. But He promises you that He will never leave you or forsake you. He will never leave you powerless, and He'll never leave you without a way through. Lord, as we sit here as your people, thank you for speaking into the hearts of these people right now, touching their lives. Lord, you are the Lord of the impossible made possible. Each one of us is the impossible made possible. Lord, as your team on earth right now, thank you for empowering us to be able to make it so. In Jesus' name. Amen.